Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Thanks for joining me. It's Monday. You know, we do our reviews, previews, and joining us now is Maris Kreitzman. She's the host of the Maris Review, a literary podcast and also books contributor for Vulture. Maris, you're going to tell us what we need to read. Thanks for coming in.
Yes, I will. Thank you.
First on your list is Long Bright River by Liz Moore.
Yeah, it's one of those books that breaks your heart, but it's paced like a thriller. So it's got, it's a real page-turner about the opioid crisis, particularly in one neighborhood in Philadelphia called Kensington, which is the largest open-air narcotics market for heroin on the East Coast.
And it's two. It's a sister. One's a cop.
One's a cop and one's an addict. And so we see their childhood and then we see them in their present-day state and how much they love each other despite so many of things that separate them.
So I'm curious about this. Do you really get a sense of time and place?
You really, really do. It's a long book. It's about 500 pages, but it's you breeze through it because it's just so well written.
Wow, it must be well written if you breeze through 500 pages. Yeah. You probably breeze through 500 pages like that. All right. So the next one is it's actually one we've been talking about here.
Yes.
Longing for Less by Kyle
Chayka,
thank you. So it's all about minimalism. The New York Times puts it, it says, two kinds of minimalism, sleek lifestyle branding and enforced austerity.
Yes.
So how does Kyle put minimalism into a cultural context?
Yeah, I mean, so he shows us how minimalism has been commodified. And, mm-hmm. you know, he talks about Marie Kondo, that's a big one. And even like Kim and Kanye's mansion in Hollywood that is minimalist. But his main takeaway, and you know, he doesn't say yes, this is good or no, it isn't, but he does say kind of like there can be no minimalism under capitalism. Right? Because you have to
consume and you've taken more. Right?
And you have to know you'll be able to get what you need when you need it.
Hmm.
So it's an interesting and nice thing to aspire to, but it might not actually pan out.
All right, so our next one is actually someone who's going to be a guest next week. I just started reading In the Land of Men by Adrienne Miller.
Yes.
So this is about her career in the 90s at a prestige men's magazine.
Yeah, she was the first female fiction editor at Esquire, and she was hired when she was 25 years old.
And she's really honest in the book. She's like, I don't know why I was hired.
Yeah.
She's very funny about it. And when she first gets her first job there, she's like, I have no idea. I just lucked out and I got this job.
And I am just fascinated by any account. You know, she started maybe 5 or 6 years before I did, but it feels like a completely different time in literature and in media.
Yeah, this is a revealing quote from the book. She writes, before I had this job, I had never known, like really known, that there were actual environments in which women's bodies were evaluated as if they were tires or trucks.
Yeah, I mean that.
How does she deal with, I'm not that far into it yet, but how does she deal with the sexism?
I think she doesn't cause too much of a fuss.
Mm-hmm.
And that might not be the takeaway that I'm supposed to take. But it is what I'm left feeling. And even, you know, she edits and dates David Foster Wallace in the book. Mm-hmm. And her goal is to humanize him, that he wasn't all monster and he wasn't all genius. And my feeling is I would rather have the young women in the literary world be the ones to be mm-hmm. humanized.
Is it a snapshot of like a time?
It sure is.
It's one of those kind of books?
It sure is.
My guest is Maris Kreitzman. She is helping us with our reviews and our previews. So we have a suspenseful psychological thriller set in 19th century New England, The Illness Lesson by Claire Beams. It already sounds scary and creepy.
It is creepy, but it's historical fiction that feels so modern because it's a story of a philosopher who takes it upon himself to create a school for teenage girls. And he imagines them as a kind of beautiful clay. He said they're dense, rich, formless, and waiting for him.
Oh, no.
And his daughter, Caroline, has already been molded by her dad.
Okay.
But the education she has allows for no freedom or agency in her life. So when the school opens and the students start falling ill, she has to determine what the right course of action is.
Oh, this sounds like you. It's one of those that makes you question your own, the way you make choices yourself.
Oh, yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, what would I do?
Oh, yeah. Yes. And I think if it had taken place in the present day, the answer would be much easier.
So I've seen some comparisons to Shirley Jackson's The Lottery,
yes.
That famous story where a town, you don't want to get the lottery ticket because you're the one that's going to get stoned. And then a girl gets it and everybody stones her, including her family. Do you see the comparisons?
Huh. I hadn't actually thought of Shirley Jackson for this particular book. But yeah, I do think the physical description is something that's absolutely there.
Our next one's a satirical novel, Interior Chinatown by Charles Yu. It's described by its publisher as a playful but heartfelt send-up of Hollywood tropes and Asian stereotypes.
Yeah.
Tell me about this.
Charles Yu has written a lot of sci-fi that I absolutely love in book form. And he's also a screenwriter on Westworld. So it's kind of fitting that his latest novel is written in the form of a TV script for like a Law and Order kind of TV show. And it's a really apt metaphor for the roles that we can aspire to and who gets to play what role in society. And so the novel's main character is a Taiwanese American who hopes to one day play Kung Fu Guy. But so far, he's been limited to playing characters such as Disgraced Son, Delivery Guy, etc. And so for Vulture, I called this a Bildungsroman for the binge watch generation.
Let's listen to a little bit of the audiobook of it, because you get a sense of the writing style and what the book's about. This is from Interior Chinatown by Charles Yu.
Willis Wu, Asian, actor. Skills, kung fu, moderate proficiency. Fluent in accented English. Able to do face of great shame on command. Resume repertoire, disgraced son. Delivery guy, silent henchman. Caught between two worlds. Guy who runs in and gets kicked in the face. Striving immigrant. Generic Asian man.
How does it do on the satire front?
Oh, I mean, it's really wonderful at satire, but it's also really heartfelt. So it's a great combination.
My guest is Maris Kreitzman. She's helping us with our reviews, previews. We're talking books today. Real Life by Brandon Taylor.
Yeah, this is a debut novel that's out tomorrow. And it's about a gay Black grad student from Alabama who finds himself at a Midwestern university doing biochemistry work. And basically, Brandon really excels at the descriptions of bodily reactions to emotional pain in this book are so visceral and excruciating.
But you say that with enthusiasm,
oh,
Maris.
Absolutely, absolutely. He really gets at like what happens to one's body when one is having difficult conversations.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
Oh, good.
I'm intrigued. Let's talk about a couple in our last 2 minutes that are out soon.
Yes,
you chose Temporary by Hillary. Is it Lecter?
Lecter.
Yeah. Kirkus describes her debut novel as a whimsically surreal fable of late-stage capitalism.
Indeed.
And reviews use the word absurd repeatedly, like in the best sense of the word, absurd.
Yes, it sure is. It's an experimental novel which features a heroine who's basically a shapeshifter. That's the best way to describe her. She's a temp, but it's a gig economy like we've never seen before. So she goes from filling in for a CEO at a big corporation to filling in for a pirate on a pirate ship, to spending time as a rock, as a human barnacle, to being an apprentice for murder.
Oh.
And so she has all of these different tasks. We have no idea what she looks like. And she has to be interchangeable in a way that you can't get to know her as a person. And it's, wow, what a great metaphor for freelancing.
And on the subject of wow, there's a book called Wow, No Thank You.
Oh, yes.
A collection of essays by Sam Irby.
Sam Irby is just one of my favorite writers today. I think she really broke out in the last decade. And her takes on the absurdities of everyday life means that she can write about reality TV and poop and frittatas and mental health meds. And her latest essay collection includes her attempt to have a wild night out, the ideal songs on her late 90s mixtape, and a chapter called Lesbian Bed Death, in which each sentence starts with, sure, sex is fun, but... dot, dot, dot.
And we have to leave it there. That Maris Kreisman has been my guest. Her podcast is The Maris Review. Maris, thank you as always.
Thank you.